Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator.
Hi, I'm Dr. Emily Morse from sexwithemily.com. Do you want to last longer in bed? Promescent is the only FDA-approved treatment for premature ejaculation. 1 in 3 men suffer from premature ejaculation, but they don't have to. Go to promescent.com to get the desensitizing spray that will allow you to have the sex you deserve.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, that feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com, where you can easily listen to all of our podcasts, or you can subscribe on iTunes, or you can listen through the Stitcher app. It's a free app for your smartphone. You can listen to our podcast through there. And we've got so many podcasts. And thanks, everyone, for our new listeners and our old listeners. I just love hearing from all of you at feedback@sexwithemily.com. I try to answer all your questions. And hopefully you are learning a lot. I'm sure you're learning a lot through this show. Even if I don't get your question right away, there's probably someone else asking a similar question. So we're always trying to help you here at Sex with Emily. I am here with Menace. It's the Menace and Emily show here today because Menace is in Los Angeles.
I am in Los Angeles.
I'm so
taking
happy.
In all the sun, enjoying it. I was telling you before we started the recording, the only thing about Los Angeles, I think they stopped making buildings after 1970. It's crazy because if you want to talk about throwback, everything looks super throwback.
Right.
The architecture where I'm
like
from in San Francisco.
It's like 60s, 70s, right?
Yeah. The architecture in San Francisco is amazing. It's always new and they're rebuilding. Here, it just like seemed like they just stopped.
I know. They did just stop. It's not a beautiful city.
Yeah, no, it's
and
not.
And the traffic is horrible.
It's pretty dirty and grungy.
I know it is.
But Santa Monica is beautiful. Venice Beach is beautiful. I was there last week hanging out doing some stuff.
What were you doing,
Emily?
Now?
What part of LA are you? Don't want to say, but are you enjoying Los Angeles as a whole?
You know, it's funny that you should ask that. I've been here, believe it or not, almost a year now.
What? Are you serious? Mm-hmm. It seems like it hasn't been that long.
Yeah, it'll be. You know, I went back to San Francisco for a little bit, mm-hmm. but really, I have to say that it's been amazing for work, for business, and for growing. You know, for Sex with Emily brand, I get to do more shows, and I host Loveline on Thursday nights with Dr. Drew. And more television appearances, and, you know, my manager, my agent, whatever. There's just more entertainment.
There's a lot more opportunities.
Right.
Yeah.
However, it doesn't quite feel like home yet. And when I land at LAX, it makes me want to cry sometimes. Because San Francisco, you land at SFO, and it is the most beautiful landing. You're, like, landing over the ocean, and it actually looks like you're about to go. And it's just home, and I was there for a long time, so... But I'm making new friends, and I kind of like having, you know, I always love I love shaking things up. So yeah. I hadn't shaken up my living situation in a while. So I like it. And of course, the traffic is hell. Like, it's just, and
you really don't see people who are like more than, you know, an hour, you know, even if they're whatever it is. Venice people don't see people in Hollywood. It's just, it's, you have to plan everything ahead.
Yeah.
The traffic. It's a very... like, it takes hours to get anywhere.
Yeah.
And I want, and I've, and I've had, I've cried.
Yeah, it's not like
I've cried in traffic
anywhere else in the country where
right. people joke about it. It's really bad.
Yeah, where you're, you know, you can date some, you can date somebody across town, no problem.
Yeah,
you know,
it's long distance here. If they're like more than 4 miles away from you, it's a long distance relationship. You won't even date them, and it's just crazy. But I do.
And sorry,
no, you go.
And to go back to it, the guys here are just creeps.
Okay,
because
tell me what you think, because I think that's so interesting. Because I can't tell you that everybody. I mean, literally, the little Russian woman who does shortens all my clothes because I'm short, all my pants, my jeans. I take her all my tailor, my alterations woman. She's amazing. She's like the men here. I told her this. She's like, they're horrible. They're the worst. I mean, literally, like, not only her, but like every single person I meet. Of course, all my friends, all the new friends are like, oh, what do you think about dating here?
Yeah.
And this woman's like warning me, like, what do you think about the men here? Because I'll tell you what they're saying, but what have you, what's your take?
Well, I have a couple of examples, and I brought this up on the show before. Well, number one, I have a really good high school friend from high school who moved here, and she lives in Hollywood, and she tells me it's very hard to date guys here because the guys here are not doing what they want to do for a living. So they're always trying, it's with their free time, they're trying to be an actor, or they're trying to work on a movie, or they're, you know, they're just, they're trying to do, or they're trying to do music. They're trying to do something other than what they're doing. So their free time is taken up by that, and that's their focus other than their focus on being on you. And you love guys that are focused on you. So it's a nightmare here for you in Los Angeles.
Like, why aren't you becoming obsessed
with then, or there's like, again, like you got to think about, you know, just people that you're around. You got to think about the ones that moved to Los Angeles. They're kind of weird and off the wall, like yourself, Emily. You can,
I know,
you can
I
admit
fit right
it.
In.
You know? So just imagine.
You're right. Everyone is a little nutty here.
10 million Emilys in one location and it's going to drive you insane.
There's not everyone like you. We're all different. We're all of our own little shade of crazy.
So there's that. And also, I got to my hotel today and in the lobby there was a sign that says, Men's Warehouse Auditions. And it was a bunch of male models that are in there, and they're all like really super douchey.
Douchey how?
Just like,
I mean, like
you
the
tell,
way they were dressed?
Just like, oh, you know, they're like overly confident in, you know.
Handsome though?
I guess they were good looking guys.
Right,
you know,
the Men's
they're
Warehouse,
male,
right?
Male models, you know what I'm saying? So, but you got to think more other than how they look, their personality,
right.
And their personality came off a little bit douchey.
Well, because they're wearing suits and they're all dressed up like models to go into an audition. But whatever,
yeah.
You're right. I guess men can be douchey. And it is true, like your waiter is an actor, you know, right.
So there was this internet phenomenon a couple weeks ago. And the first post that I saw about it was from one of my friends in Los Angeles, from Los Angeles. And she stated, this pretty much sums up my dating life in L.A., and the internet phenomenon was, I don't know if you heard about this, it's called Starbucks Hands.
No.
Have you heard about it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Of course not.
So the story is that this girl met this guy at Starbucks, and after meeting him, like this guy thinks he's like a male model or something.
Right.
After meeting him, he sends her a video of himself just staring into the camera, and he like brushes his eyes over his head with his hands. And it's just like looking into the camera.
Like, I'm so beautiful.
Yeah. Just like this, like just gazing into the camera while he plays Drake music in the background. So Drake's an artist, by the way.
I know Drake.
And
oh, you're telling everyone else.
Yeah. Well, people that don't know. So it's just like this super douchey male model wannabe
like
guy.
Narcissist.
Yeah. And then he thought that he would woo this girl over by sending this video of himself gazing into the camera. And my LA friends who are women were like, yep, that's pretty much how the guys are. Just
so
here.
He sent it to some chick and she just, it went viral?
It went viral because she sent the video to like somebody that she knew and then it got posted online. And
that's amazing.
And people have
Is
just
it on
made,
YouTube? It's called Starbucks Hands?
Yeah. I mean, it pretty much took off on Instagram.
Okay.
But yeah, just look up
that's
Starbucks
hilarious.
Hands. And
I mean, it is true. Everyone's good looking here too. They say like the best looking... Mm-hmm. you know, people from every high school in America moving.
Yeah.
That's what they say too in LA. Like this the top, what, everyone's like, oh, yeah, you know, you're so hot and you should be an actress. And they all yeah. move here. A lot of people, we don't hear about it. A lot of people don't make it in LA.
Oh, 90%
of
them.
Most people don't make it. So, right? So then they're your waiters, they're your whatever, they're everything. Yeah. Nothing's wrong with, I was a waitress for a long time. I'm just saying that's, but everyone here is trying. It's true. You're right. No one is just an actor, or just a waiter. And I forget that. Like, because one of my best friends from college was here and we always go out. Well, back up for a second. Let me tell you that story about sleeping with bartenders in a minute. First, okay, let me tell you, you're listening to Sex with Emily, and this is what our show is about today. Today, we are giving advice for singles, okay? A lot of the stuff I'm going to tell you today, you can also use if you're in a relationship, for sure. But, I mean, people want to know how to meet someone, what should be the rules around sex. So even if you're single but dating, this is going to be helpful for you, too. And we're going to give you some sex tips. We're also going to read your emails that you sent to feedback@sexwithemily.com. You can also always follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Sex with Emily. I would appreciate that. Okay. So anyway, I have this friend here. So I'm single. So it's funny that we're talking about this because I'm actually single and dating in Los Angeles. And she's always friends with all these bartenders. I mean, she's married, but she's very friendly with all the bartenders and all the places. I'm like, she's like, you should go with him and you should go with him. And I was like, what? You know, and then she's like, no, they're not really bartenders. She like loves this. She's like, because you never know who the next Tom Cruise is or the next whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, but right now he's like working until 3 a.m. and he comes home late. Like that to me, I don't even want the bartender lifestyle in my life right now. And she's like, it doesn't matter. I'm like, oh, I'm not into that. But what I'm saying is it's true that everyone's good looking. The bartenders, the waiters, whatever, and that's not what they want to be doing. Like, so in a way, you're not even getting the best service because they're
You're around the wrong people. See, you surround yourself with the wrong people. Because the thing is, like, okay, what are you going to do? Hold on. But what are you going to do with that for the rest of your life? Oh, hey, let's say this guy became Brad Pitt, right? But let's say you met him like 20 years ago. And he was a bartender and you slept with him. So that's what you get for the rest of your life, that you get to say, oh, well, I slept with Brad Pitt.
No, she meant they're interesting. I'm sorry. This came out wrong. She wasn't saying I should sleep with them all. She was saying they're all her friends and they're really interesting and they do all these different things. And then one of them she tried to fix me up with and I wasn't attracted to him. But she was just like, no, you don't. And then she explained that mentality. She was, it's just so funny because I'm friends with all these people and a lot of them, she's lived here a long time. Like, you know, they do other things. They really are working on their career. So that was my point. But you're right that men here are just obsessed with what they're doing and they can't be obsessed with you. And they also say that, you know, but this about men and women, that they're always looking for the BBD.
Yeah.
The bigger, better deal. And that people also, what else do they say about
especially
women?
No.
The women are gold diggers.
Yeah, well, of course. But the thing that I was going to say also, let's say, okay, yeah, okay, let's say this guy is on his way of being the next Brad Pitt, and then he starts getting successful and stuff like that. Who says that he's even going to stick around with you?
Exactly.
You know?
He's going to be like, I just got my first Grammy or whatever. Yeah. What did they get?
Oscar.
Oscar.
I just got my first Oscar. I'll see you later. I'm going to go with Angelina Jolie. Peace out.
Exactly.
So
that's you're right.
That's the dating life.
And then you said that your friends, your female, what about your guy friends here?
My guy friends here?
What do they say about the women?
They're like easy.
Easy? Like they all sleep with them right away?
Yeah. LA, I think LA chicks are easy.
Interesting.
Pretty much. Yeah, but do you know what's cool about them is, a lot of beautiful women move here to Los Angeles. So they're very well kept, you know, they're not, right, you know, you're not going to see them bumming around
like San Francisco and sweatpants and Uggs.
Yeah. Sweatpants and Uggs and stuff like that. Like if you're going to see a girl at a gas station, it's going to be a fashion show out here.
Right.
You know, they're going to be looking good all the time.
True.
So, I mean, that is a benefit.
Yes, that is a benefit for being in Los Angeles, except everyone's hot and then you're not as hot.
But also it's just like, you know, I don't know how I feel about, I've never really had too much of a relationship with a woman from LA, but
okay,
I just don't seem as, the ones that are born and raised here don't seem as real and as dedicated
even the ones that are born and raised here, they don't, okay,
as other women that I find in other parts of the country.
Like the Midwestern chicks like me that you love. I mean, you don't love me, but you like the Chicago.
Yes.
And it's true. I mean, yeah, there is definitely a more liberal lifestyle here happening in Los Angeles.
And
I don't know many people from here.
Everyone here in Los Angeles, too, I don't know any ones that are married for like 100 years anymore. Like, you look at Kris Jenner and what's his name? Brody Jenner. No,
right,
that's her stepson. But look at the Jenner family.
How do you feel about the Jenner family? You're so into the Kardashians. How do you feel about that divorce?
Everyone saw that coming. So it wasn't a huge surprise. Bruce Jenner and Kris Jenner, because
what does it say? Why are they getting divorced? Does it say why?
Because Bruce Jenner doesn't want to be in the limelight. He just wants to go play golf and, you know.
Yeah, he's like, enough with the cameras.
Yeah, he's over it. And Kris Jenner is obsessed, and this is not a bad thing, you know. She wants to be famous, and she wants her whole family to be successful. You know, I'm not going to talk bad about Kris Jenner because I love her, and I want her to be my manager one day.
Might be too.
But, you know, and that's what she's focused on, and he doesn't want to be a part of that. So now, you know, it's just like I used to think about like, oh, yeah, you know what? She's just a gold digger and she's a fame whore and all this stuff. But you know what? You got to look at things both sides. If people want different things, then you know what?
And 20-some-odd years they were together, right?
22.
22. So that's a good run. I mean, I don't know. I just don't think that like it's, I mean, they're together. They're family. It's really sad for the kids. I feel bad for all of them, but. You know, they tried. They were together a long time.
Yeah.
22 years is
significant. And they just have different goals right now. And, you know, it's not working out. So.
Exactly.
Look, I'm getting older. I'm not calling people bad names and stuff like that.
You are so maturing before my eyes. That's amazing.
But, yeah, so that's that. But you know what? I did put a tweet out there that I believe that Kris Jenner, because she really wants to be famous, just as famous as her daughters, I believe that she will change her name to Kardashian.
No. You think?
Hell yeah, I think she will.
But she doesn't need, at this point, maybe she
will. She doesn't need to.
Right, but she has her daughters to, with the Jenner name. She won't do it.
Huh?
Her daughters have the Jenner name,
yeah,
so she
but
wouldn't
I think
do
she
that.
Will, I think she'll come out and say...
She's too old. You don't change your name at 60-something.
No, I think that
unless
she'll
it's like a
out.
Really bad divorce, but they've got kids together. She
yeah, yeah.
It.
It's not. They claim it's not going to be a bad divorce at all. They're really good friends still. It's just, you know...
Right.
Again, focusing on different things.
So funny.
But I think that Kris Jenner is going to change her name to Kardashian, and I think she's going to claim... This is how she's going to do it. I think that she's going to claim... That
I love that you're pointing drumsticks at me.
Robert Kardashian was the true love of her life, and she's gonna want to take his last name back.
Oh, I don't think she would do that to Bruce Jenner and the daughters. She's got daughters with him.
She don't care.
Yeah, she
it doesn't
does.
Matter. What
Honey,
does that really matter?
Yes,
though?
That would hurt the girls.
But what
your
about
true
if she got remarried? Yeah, but no,
wasn't
no,
your
no,
father
no.
is not my true love. No, she wouldn't.
What
do
about
that.
If she got remarried
that would
again?
Be so bad PR. So what, she can get married again, but don't
and then
change
what
her
happened?
Name. I think at the 22 years of her age, you
but
keep
this
the
is
name
her
of the Jenner.
Her third last name.
Yeah, I don't think so. But I think, I don't think it's interesting. I mean, I don't know.
You don't think it's interesting?
I just feel like, let's just see what happens.
So now, Khloé and Lamar.
Khloé and Lamar. What happened?
Okay,
they're
so
divorced.
Everyone's claiming that that Lamar is on crack. And
right, I heard someone who just saw him on crack down the street.
No way.
I swear to God, he and his in Venice. I have a friend who lives right around the corner and says that they were at the liquor store and they were all like cracked out. It looked like his father, they thought.
Yeah.
Did you hear the story?
I've seen stuff online.
Oh, yeah. And it was right by his, he like saw it, the whole thing.
What?
Yeah, totally. He lives right there in Venice. And they were like cracked out, like sitting at like around the corner from the liquor store, just like on crack.
No.
Yeah.
Well, people are just like thinking,
you
seeing
think
what
they're someone made it up? It's a friend of mine.
Yeah, but how do they know exactly that they're on crack? They just hear and see everything in the media, and then they're like, oh, I saw him. He's all cracked out.
Oh, right.
Out.
He could have just been tired
guy.
Taking a nap in the alleyway or something, pissing himself.
I'm sure that's what he was doing when your friend saw him.
I didn't
but
even
the
ask,
thing is that
care.
I'm seeing, oh, yeah, but hold on. A lot of people, millions of people. On
millions
the,
of people care.
Care. So
okay,
this
sorry,
is why I'm
you
telling
care,
you this.
Care, is here.
It was like the number
one. Not anal sex.
It was the number one story for like a couple days. Let me just finish it, wrap it up.
Yeah,
and
I
so
love it.
I'm gonna blow
kidding,
people's
but...
minds. So there's all this stuff in the media saying, that he's on crack, he's on drugs and all this stuff, and they're gonna get a divorce and all these things. But let me flip it on you real quick.
Flip it, baby, flip it.
People are saying, you don't just become a crackhead overnight. You know, you don't just start doing...
Right.
Like, this drug problem has been going on for a long time.
Exactly.
Now, they say the mastermind could be Kris Jenner to put all this stuff out in the media to say, he's on drugs, he's out of control. Now, because Khloé just wants to get out of the marriage. So now she gets out scot-free. She just looks like she's a victim because this guy's all cracked out.
No, he... think she really loved him, Chloe.
No, no, I think she did too. But I think, like, okay, like, she just doesn't want to be a part of it anymore. So then...
Maybe he was sober for, like, 2 years. They were together and he really didn't do drugs. And then he's relapsed again.
Why? What, within, the, like, the past month?
Yeah. If you relapse, you relapse hard.
I don't know.
I was just
I
on
think,
this
like,
radio...
some of the stuff has been going
Do you know who Neil Strauss is? He wrote a book
Sounds
called
familiar.
The Game.
Yeah.
He's got a show on SiriusXM. He's written a bunch of books. Janet Jameson, a bio. And he remember The Game, the book that came out in like 2006 about the pickup artist community.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's very smart. And I was on his radio show on SiriusXM it hasn't even aired yet, but I was on it last week at his house in Malibu, which is gorgeous, by the way. And I'm going to look up. He does this show and there was like four people at the table. It's like a dinner party and we're sitting with these mics, but It's like these head mics. So like, you don't even have like a big mic in front of this.
Yeah.
Anyway, one of the guys was in a band.
Okay.
You know, I never. He was in the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Dead Kennedys.
Yeah.
And the Red Hot Chili Peppers for a while. D.H. Pellegro.
Okay.
Pellegro, do you know him?
Sounds. Well, and then there was I know a lot of members
okay.
have been.
And then there was a reporter from Rolling Stone. And we just had this conversation. We're talking about everything. Mm-hmm. So D.H. was saying he used to be a crack. On crack and for many years, and he was sober for like 3 years, and then he went to visit some friends like in New York or something, and then he relapsed after like 2-3 years, and then now he's sober again, but it was just, like a little mini relapse. But that's why in AA in sobriety they say one day at a time, because you never know if you're gonna. So I think that you never know
that he just started doing
I don't think that he's been doing she might have known about his history, but I don't think that he necessarily was, like, using the whole time. But I don't know. Maybe he was using and she didn't know, and now She found out. But I don't think – I doubt
I hope
it.
They can get through it.
I just hope they can get through
honest.
It, too. I hope everyone can get through it.
Because they got so much heat because they got married within a month of meeting each other.
That's amazing.
They got so much heat for it. So I'd rather them caca on the critics and just, like, work through it. If he has – I mean, what about if your significant other
– Yeah.
starts going through a drug problem. You think you can work through that? I mean, you've never been married, and I mean, what's your longest relationship again?
2.5 years. 3 years.
All right. So let's say you're in the middle.
He was a premature ejaculator. Okay. So, okay. So what are you saying? So I can't talk about
relationships? No. I'm just saying that, no. Deep relationship.
Right.
Do you think you can be able to work through that?
I mean, here's the thing about addiction. I can't ask my partner to change if he's drinking too much or doing drugs. They have to realize they have a problem and want to have a change.
Yeah, it's
so
really hard.
So if they do, if I'm with someone and he's a drug addict, I wouldn't dump him right away if he's willing to get help. And he's like, no, I want to be sober. But if he was like a drug addict all the time and he was like doing blow or whatever, I would dump him. I wouldn't want to be with anyone who had lived an unhealthy lifestyle. Not that I'm like anti-drug, but like if it was like an addict, and the definition of an addict is how it impacts your life. So can you no longer go to work? Can you no longer hold a job? Are you affecting your relationships? Can you, you know, you're losing all your money, like whatever it is. But if you're, you know, if you're a functioning drug user, that's still bad. But usually you have a downward spiral is what I'm saying. So I think I could never handle that. And they'd have to get help ASAP. It's not attractive.
The thing is that what I've learned also, it's just because when I was younger, being around drug addicts, you want to help them. You want to help them and you want to be around and like deal with it. But now that I'm older, I'm so annoyed by drug addicts because they like you said, they just need to realize that they have a problem and they're the only ones that are going to be able to fix it. So
exactly.
I just don't even have time for it anymore.
I know, right.
I'm like, I can't even waste my life.
You want to help them, but
it sucks because, you know, they could go down to a really deep, dark circle and something bad can really happen to them. But you could waste your life
trying to help
somebody that doesn't even realize that they have a problem.
Exactly. It's so true. You have to pay attention to those red flags. You can't go into a relationship thinking that you're going to change someone because people never change. And if they do change, I'm not saying never, but they won't. They're not going to change because you want them to. You get in a relationship, you're like, oh, this will all stop once we get married. Guess what? It's not. Unless they want to change their behavior, is it going to change? So that's something really important to remember about relationships in general, that a lot of people do this. They commit to someone like, oh, eventually he'll stop going out with all his guy friends. Oh, he won't watch sports all the time. He'll lose the weight. Did he ever tell you that he was going to stop hanging out with friends? Like, people make assumptions that things are going to happen and people are going to change, but only if they say they're going to.
Yes.
Remember that, right, Menace? Okay, so advice for singles. So I had an interesting experience with so first thing I have to talk about, this show is brought to you by my very own brand called Emily and Tony. emilyandtony.com. If you've been listening to the show and you love me and you support me, and I've been doing it for 8 years and I'm not charging you a dime to listen to this, and hopefully your love life's getting better. I made killer products that you should buy even if it wasn't my brand, because we worked really hard on it. My partner is Anthony Sosnick from Anthony's skincare line for men. You've met him. It's a top seller at Sephora. Yeah. You can buy anywhere Anthony products for men. So we came together, me as a sex expert, him as a skincare expert, and we created the most friggin' amazing products. One is Down Under Comfort. You've heard me talking about that a lot. It's a ball lotion for men. Menace actually uses it and likes it. It's so you don't sweat. You smell fresh and dry all day long.
I actually really enjoy it.
I know. It's like part of your everyday repertoire, because men use talcum powder and things like that doesn't really work, and it's carcinogenic, and it just, like, you're fresh. Like, if you want to get a blowjob at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you don't have to worry if you're fresh or not. So also, though, I have these massage oil candles. So I don't know if anyone knows. A lot of people don't know what they are, but they're really aromatherapy massage oils that warm like a candle. So they're not too hot. It's not waxy. And it melts into the most luxurious body oil that's really hydrating and leaves your skin smelling amazing. It's perfect for massaging yourself or your partner during foreplay, because you know I'm all about foreplay. So I had to make something about foreplay. So I actually, with this guy I went on a date with, I had never used the candles. I had him give me his massage. But I also use it. It's like vanilla and coconut and fougere, different scents, on my body as a moisturizer every day. So it's vegan and amazing for you, except for the beeswax. So it's not totally vegan, but all the product. It's soybean oil and coconut oil. Anyway, check out emilyandtony.com and use my coupon code Emily and get a discount. I think it's 20% off.
Let me ask you something. Weren't you going? Yeah. I know you're like, you're not seriously dating anybody right now. Weren't you going to like do some online dating?
I am. So match.com. I put my profile at Match.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
How do we find you?
Jesus. I wasn't going to bring this up on the show. And oh, I think I have a website. It's okay. Try match.com and use M. I don't even know what it is, because I do it on Loveline. But let me just tell you, So I'm dating online, yes. Okay. And I wrote a blog for Match, and I haven't actually, I went on one date, but really it was not a date. It was like a half of a coffee, because I knew that I wouldn't like this guy. But I don't want to get into this whole thing now, but I've literally like 3,000 men in my inbox from Match right now.
Oh my God.
And I can't, I'm going to have my assistant, Kelsey, she's going to go through them all, because it's overwhelming.
It's too much.
I've never dated online in my life. And I think it's great. I think it's amazing to date online. In a new city, I'm meeting so many people. I just have to narrow down the pool.
Yeah, I mean, like, how do you filter all that? I remember you used to go off, like, years ago about your friend who got 30,000 winks.
300,000 winks or
so
views.
So what? Like, you know, you can get that, like, in a day.
I'm getting it now. I understand,
like,
now. You
just
should because
you have a hot photo, it just, like, don't. I mean, Emily, you are special, but I'm talking about your friend here.
Oh, God.
Don't think you're special because 300,000 guys looked at your photo.
I don't
like,
at all.
Like,
they didn't think they read
people do that on Instagram all day long.
I don't think. No. I don't think I'm special.
Emily, but you are special. I'm just talking about
your
friend.
Oh, you're so sweet. Okay.
I'm talking about your friend.
No, now I'm getting my friend. I get it. I used to be like, oh, my God. She's like, my profile has been viewed 280,000 times. I get it. Guys are looking for photos, and they're not reading anything.
Yeah, they don't have anything.
They don't even read it. They don't even look. They're like, is she hot?
Yeah.
Nice body?
So that's,
whatever.
What's cool is like, okay, you're going to filter it and find out people that actually read the profile and, you know, talk about common interests.
Exactly.
I just wanted to see how that was
going. But it's going well, and everyone, you should check out my blog at Match. I did a blog there, and
sexlovin.com.
Listen, if you are dating online, though, I'd love to hear stories, because I'm going to be talking about this more in the future. I'm actually going to be talking about my profile and more stuff that I'm doing. I'm really going to roll out my whole thing. But I want to hear your stories, too. Like, how has it been for you? Have you met someone online dating? What service do you use? What did you find? We're going to have people on the show that are going to give tips how to write the best profile, to take the best picture, all that stuff. So feedback@sexwithemily.com.
That's cool. Martha Stewart is on there. Martha Stewart
right
is
now?
On Match.
I heard that. But like, have you seen her profile and stuff? Can you?
I haven't. I haven't looked at it.
You think that'd be viral?
Looked at it
right
all.
Now.
But do you know what's funny is, like, man, I was like, oh, that'd be kind of cool, like, hang out with Martha Stewart, talk about her life, and maybe she'll make me some, like, good food or something like that, or some crafts. But Bethany, who is from Real Housewives New York, I believe, she has a talk show now, which is really good, and she had Martha Stewart on there, and Martha Stewart kind of was like a C word to her a little bit.
Really?
And Bethany was saying how, like, this is her idol and all this stuff. And she was just like, oh, yeah, we're kind of similar. Because I like, she's like, oh, how are we similar? Like, kind of a little snarky to her. And she wasn't going to even say anything to it. She'd like, she just kind of let it go. And like, the show happened. But she was like flooded with messages from people. She's like, oh, I wasn't even going to bring this. Yeah, she's like, I wasn't even going to bring this up. But yeah, it was kind of weird when she was on here because I really look up to her. And it's like kind of like when you meet your idol and it's just not the experience that you think you thought it was going to be.
Okay, she like tweeted that or something?
No, she said it on the show.
Oh, yeah, oh, like she the next did day?
The whole thing, yeah.
Wow.
Like, because everyone's like calling Martha Stewart a C-word.
Do you think that she's just like that with everyone, Martha Stewart? Or you think she had issues with Bethany?
Like some crazy stories about Martha Stewart. Like I saw like some TV movie about her where like she slaps somebody or something like that.
Okay. You hear that a lot. Yeah. And there's something about Bethany being the hardest boss ever or something like on a talk show.
I'm sure. I think when I watch Bethany, I'm like, or like just seeing her reality show, I'm like, oh my God, this is like a carbon copy of Emily Morris, like because she have like little office thing and she's like just freaking out over nothing. I'm like, oh my God, this is just like it is like they looked at Emily Morris's life and wrote the script.
Oh my God, do you know I'm gonna be on the Bethany talk show?
And when?
I liked it. I actually watched it. I thought it was really good.
It is.
Probably like in the next month or so. I'll let you know. Do you want to come to that?
I want to go to the shows. You always say, oh, I can go. And then you're like, the next
day. And you know what? Do you realize that I invite you places and you never invite me anywhere? But I will.
I mean, what
am
I
going to
invite you to?
I don't know. You do you do everything.
I do everything that you wouldn't want
to
do.
You don't take me to Disney World. I go to Disney World. Land,
you go to Disneyland.
I grew up with World in Florida. That's what I'm
saying. All right. Would you go to Disneyland for real?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Today.
Okay.
Tomorrow. I swear
tomorrow
to God.
I'm in Vegas.
I know. Whatevs. I'm just glad you're here now. Okay, this show, we are going to give you some advice for being single and dating.
Okay.
We should get into that crap right now, right?
Do it. We are kind of doing that already.
We actually are. You're right. We're talking about
dating.
It's
like when we start getting on a vibe and start talking about things, you freak out. We're like, oh, we really got to get to this topic.
You know why? And I'd love to hear from my listeners. You people.
Okay.
Because sometimes,
I don't listen to listeners.
Not a lot.
It can suck
you're
it.
Right. We don't listen to I listen to you. But
you do.
Like,
you take it to heart.
You're just talking the whole time. And I feel like you downloaded Sex with Emily. So tell me I'm wrong. You listen to this podcast because you want to improve your sex life. And I'm not saying Menace and I aren't talking about things that actually are personal experiences that I think we all learn from each other. But I said at the top of the show I was going to give you some advice. And now it's, you know, we've been doing it's. And I have been giving advice throughout the way, Matt.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I have certain things I want to say to people. And I don't want them to be like, when is she going to. But maybe you're having fun. And I'm having fun. So. That's what I think.
Okay. I mean, if you're... Just
fast forward the first 15 minutes if you don't like it.
Yeah, if you don't like it, go ahead.
But we don't always do this. I haven't seen you and I love you and we have good talks. Okay, whatever. Advice for singles. So I think that people... This is the problem. It's all a mindset. I'm not giving you any... I'm going to give you some tips and tricks. But also, people think... This is their mindset. If I was only in a relationship, it will solve all my problems. Have you ever thought before? Like, once I get a relationship, then everything's going to be okay. It's that same mentality that's like, once I get a car, once I get a new job, you know, everything's better. And it's like, you have to be happy in the moment, be happy with where you're at, and know that all these things will come. And appreciate the present moment, and appreciate where you're at, and be a happy person. Work on that, because then you're going to find someone. You know, they say that desperation is an ugly cologne. Have you ever heard that? That saying, like, that people can tell if you're desperate. Mm-hmm. And so...
There's a new word for that.
What?
It's called thirsty. That's what. That's a new
hot
term.
Oh, she's thirsty.
Like she's if you're desperate, it's like, oh man, she's so thirsty. He's like the thirstiest.
Yeah, that's great. Same thing.
Thirsty.
So we know if they're desperate. Just everyone chill and have a life. Like you have to create a full life, and that's what's going to make you so attractive.
And stop being so. I know so many women that are just obsessed of trying to get into a relationship.
I know
that they blow it every time.
How do they blow it?
They're just like just too obsessed, and then they try to get too serious too fast. And men these days, they're trying to fill you out if they want to. You know, I know there's the old term that's been around forever. It's like, oh, why, you know, buy the cow or whatever.
Right, you can get the milk for free. Right.
But I think that's just how it is these days. Guys are just filling you out. They're not going to dive right in. They want to know if they're compatible with you and they have a good time with you. Yeah, of course, there's probably a lot of percentage of dudes that are out there that are just douchey that just want to sleep with you and then move on. I get that. But also the guys that want to be with you, it's 2013
right.
And they want to They want to fill you out and see if, like, can I be around this person all the time?
Yeah. So they,
if I had to be in a room with Emily for a week straight, oh my God, I would blow my brains out. But not that I don't love you. It's just like, it's exhausting.
I know, he's exhausted because on the way here, we drove here and it was really,
it's exhausting because I know that you're excited to see me and you had so many things to tell me and it's just blah, 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 blah,
I know,
blah.
We have very different
I'm
energy
like,
levels.
Wow.
But you love me. You come back for more.
I mean, like, I swear
more.
If I lived with you, I would probably go to bed at like 6 o'clock.
It was just, you'd be like, I'm really tired. And you like triple lock your door. I date men who happen to appreciate the fact that
That's great. I'm happy that you find those guys.
Yeah, I do. I'm not with any of them
I hope they stick around forever.
And I don't talk that much. I just am comfortable with you. If I go on a date, I'm not talking. Oh, maybe I am talking all the time. If you've been on a date with me, email me. Feedback at
Tinder.com.
I talk the whole time. I have no idea.
Maybe some guys are just looking to watch like, okay, do I get to sleep with her?
No, I think they find me entertaining.
Sit through all this stuff. Like, hopefully, at least I get a BJ out of this. God damn.
When is she ever going to shut up and put my penis in her mouth?
Yeah.
Damn it. I better reward that listener's stupid-ass stories.
He goes, I'm going to commit suicide if I do not go home, if I go home tonight.
Oh my God, it's like their consolation prize. I'm sorry you had to suffer through
I'm
all my stories.
Kidding. It's not that bad. Just most of the time with
okay,
me.
Okay, right,
that's
whatever. All. Okay. So also, what people don't realize is that when they get in a relationship, it creates a whole new set of problems, right? Or issues.
Yeah.
Not even problems, but it's not like you're in a relationship and everything's better, okay? How many times have you been in a relationship and everything's better? It's not. It's just, and you also create high expectations for the person you're in a relationship with. We talked about this earlier, but many people are convinced they will change their partner. People rarely change or change gradually. And if they do change, they want to do it themselves. And they're not going to change for you. So, of course, there are great benefits to a relationship. You have regular sex. You have a person to watch the movies with on a Saturday night. You have someone to, I don't know, with men. I like it when they, like, change the light bulbs and stuff like that. But that being said, if you want to navigate your sex life as a single person, because single people and dating, people are dating, want to have sex too, probably more than people in relationships. And how to find a partner, this is what I'm going to tell you about today. So, sex. These are some questions that I got asked for a national magazine, and I answered. I was thinking that this would be just a great some great advice for people about how to navigate through the single world. So, if single, how can people avoid being hung up on the lack of sex, intimacy, and romance? So, what I think is being single is great because it gives you free time to work on yourself and pursue your interests, and so you have to keep your life full, keep spending time with friends, finding out what you love. And obsessing about being single and brooding about your unsatisfying love life will do nothing to change your situation. So people don't realize is that you have the thing that men and women are most attracted to another person is confidence. Someone who's got their stuff going on. They've got a life. It's exciting. You have to really, you can't fake that. Like, love your life right now as you're single. So
no one wants to be
things that you're passionate about.
No one wants to be with a sourpuss.
Exactly.
Like Debbie Downer. Like everything sucks.
Right. Everything sucks.
My God.
And you're going to drop everything once this guy comes along? No. Have a full, rich life that you can't just change because you met someone else. So as far as casual sex or when you first meet someone, the more you know about your body, the better you'll be able to communicate with your next partner. And the sex will be so much better because of the time you invested in yourself and your body. One of the top questions I get asked from my listeners and women especially is mostly women, I can't have an orgasm during intercourse. What's wrong with me? Am I normal? And I'm here to tell you that only 30% of women actually do have orgasms during intercourse. And of those, it's not every time. And it's complicated. I mean, some people can, like, whatever, where the second the penis goes in. And I hate those women. But it's not easy. So you have to communicate and learn your body and be able to explain it. Now, you also might need a vibrator. A lot of women need to use sex toys. Like, they actually can't orgasm without some more clitoral stimulation. A man's body just can't provide it always. So I always say right now they're like waterproof. They're little. They're quiet. They're discreet. Go to goodvibes.com. Use coupon code Emily and you get 15% off. My favorite, as you all know, is the Jeju Mimi. And of course, the Mimi, just look up Mimi, M-I-M-I. The Fifi, I love. And of course, the original magic wand. You'll have an orgasm very quickly. So for men, checking out their Verspankin, they can try the Fleshlight, which is the most popular male sex toy, and it stimulates the feeling of a vagina. The Fleshlight.
Yeah.
So check that out at Good Vibes. If you get a vibrator, so know your sex life. So, and when you're with someone new, it's never too early in a relationship to talk about what you want in bed. I understand the first time, maybe people are like, oh, I'm not going to tell them. But if you're dating someone, don't wait around and have bad sex. Life is too short to have bad sex. So there's to be like, you know what, babe? I need to, you know, or maybe you're not calling him babe yet, but you know what? I actually need a little bit. The guys don't care if you pull out your vibrator or if you need to touch yourself. There was a woman that called in actually when I was doing Loveline, and she was like, my boyfriend hates that I touch my clitoris during sex. Well, guess what? A lot of women need that. And most men that you want that are worth their weight to date are going to be turned on by the fact that you're touching your clitoris. Don't you think it's hot when a woman touches her clitoris during sex or rubs herself? Or do you feel bad? Oh, God, what are you going
to
say here?
No. What I really wanted to ask, it kind of pertains to this. Is as a man, I want to ask you, I know sometimes you get sexually frustrated with guys, right?
Yes.
But do you understand or do you have sympathy that guys, it's very hard for guys to make it happen for you?
Yes. I feel bad for them all the time.
Do you think a lot of women feel bad? I mean, as a sex person, a sex expert, Dr. Emily Morris, that you never dropped that.
I know,
you should.
Doctor.
Dr. Emily Morris. You're surrounded by sex every single day of your life. But the average woman, is she aware how hard it is for a guy to make them orgasm? Or are they unaware?
That's a really good question.
You write that down. I want you to take a survey.
Okay. I would. Well, email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Let's take a survey.
Maybe they're not aware.
Women, are you aware of it? Does it bother you? Guys, do you think that,
At the dinner table when you're talking with your girlfriends, oh man, this guy's so lame. And
we don't talk like
stuff.
That. It's more like I can't have an orgasm or I need to use a vibrator or.
Yeah, but then you're always like, oh, he's part of the problem.
No, okay. So sometimes the man is part of the problem. This is the man.
And I'm not saying it's not all the time.
No, here's the thing. I know how complicated women are. You're right. I'm a sexologist. I'm a doctor of sex. I know that we are. I'm complicated. I'm not an easy woman either. Okay, I get it. Most people are not. Most women take a long time to orgasm, and they have to be aware of the fact that. But I think when I was younger and I first started having sex, I did used to blame the guy because I thought this magical orgasm was just going to happen when he stuck his penis inside me, and we rode around for a little bit. And it didn't happen, and I was pissed, and I was like, he's really bad in bed. But this is like when I was 21. I was like, oh, my God, he's the worst. And then I realized, well, I wasn't communicating what I needed. Guys don't magically know, and you have to communicate. That's why I always say communication is a lubrication. I mean that you have to explain to your partner what you need. Now, that said, I don't expect men anymore to figure out my body. Now, some guys are really good. Like, they do some things. Like, I let them, like, the first time. Like, okay, you can perform oral sex on me, and, like, some guys are great. Some guys do know what they're doing. But I don't blame the ones who are kind of off missing a little, or they're like going too fast or too hard or whatever it is, because every woman wants differently. So his last girlfriend might have loved fingers inside her during oral sex. But I, for example, this is not true or false, I hate them. So he's sticking his fingers in me and I'm like, ouch, or whatever it is. That's why it's very hard for men. Because
every woman's
different.
I
think that women may learn this over time, but I feel for them, and I feel like another thing that women I do know is that they think it takes them a long time. So women are so conscious when men are performing oral sex on them, they want it. I think a lot of them do, but they're like, oh my God, it's been 20 minutes, it's been 25, 30. They're looking at the clock. They're thinking he doesn't really want to do it. So if you're a guy and what you can do is you're performing oral sex in her. So this is when the men fail, when they don't perform oral sex and they don't care about female pleasure. It's the guy who gets on top of you without making sure that you're warmed up, without making sure you've lubed, and he just sticks it inside you and he rides away at you like a jackhammer. And then he comes and he rolls over and falls asleep or orders a pizza. And you're lying there like, what the hell happened? I didn't have my pleasure yet. Those are the guys that are douchebags and that are not great lovers because they're not concerned with her pleasure. So most guys should be like, make sure that she has her orgasm first, however it has to happen, or that if you come quickly or whatever it is, if you come first, make sure that she does. So the guys who are not good lovers, it's not because they don't know any certain technique. It's because they're not aware that women need to have their pleasure too. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. So what's your advice on approaching sex as a singleton, they asked me? This was like a European magazine, so singleton. Figure out your boundaries and do your best to stick to them. So if you know, and this happens to so many of my friends, and I think it's more women than men, if you know that having sex with someone will only leave you feel with someone you just met will leave you feeling less than full, try to avoid these situations. If you want to wait to have sex with someone when you just start dating, then wait. So I think that there's a lot of people who have casual sex. I have friends who have it and then they feel terribly depressed the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have, you know, they have like, you know, one night stands, or the guy doesn't call, or they had sex too quickly and they just feel like depressed. A lot of women, it makes them feel like, oh, why did I do that? You know, they over, whatever. It makes them feel bad. But I don't know that men regret sex like women do.
No, we don't.
Never. You're like, whatever.
We never feel
like,
bad about it. Or unless like, oh, it was like a girl like, damn, I really slept with that girl.
Right, like the beer goggles in the morning. Ugh. You're like, really? So I would say, if you know this about yourself as a woman, maybe you're using sex to feel affirmed and to feel better about yourself, but ultimately the next day it makes you feel bad. Pay attention to these patterns and don't have sex too quickly. Okay, so casual sex. The thing about casual sex is it can be great for a lot of people. I am a fan of casual sex, but it can be very, like, not pleasant for other people. So you have to look at your past before committing to casual sex. Like I said, how do you feel about yourself afterwards? Check in frequently with your feelings and emotions so if you know you're on the right emotional track. A lot of guys don't feel great about casual sex either, mm-hmm. believe it or not. So if you're concerned also about premature ejaculation when you're having oral sex with someone for the first time, you can try Promescent. Go on my website, click on Promescent. It's the only FDA-approved treatment for premature ejaculation. You spray it on your penis. She won't know you're using it, and you'll last a lot longer. Because a lot of times casual sex, that does lead to early on in a relationship when you first sleep with someone. So another thing I want to say – okay, no, back up that. Okay, so can you ever have too much casual sex? If you're safe – use protection, enjoy casual sex, and feel good about yourself afterwards, I think you're fine as long as you wear protection. But if you're having too much casual sex and you're feeling pressured and you don't enjoy the experience and you don't have positive feelings afterwards. So every woman and man, for that matter, should ask these questions. Do I enjoy the act of casual sex? Does it feel good? Do I feel good about myself after having casual sex? Do I trust the person that I'm having casual sex with? And I guess as I'm talking about friends with benefit situations, this is not just a one-night stand. This is someone that, you know, if the answer is no, though, to any of those questions, you probably should wait until you know someone better and establish trust before having sex with a new partner. What do you think about that, Menace? You think it's different for men in that way, too? Like, you guys are never like, oh, why did I do that? But casual sex can be hard on men, too. They're thinking, oh, why is she sleeping with other people?
No, they don't think about that, but they're like, are they going to get too attached, and you know, how am I gonna
juggle
multiple people? Am I gonna be seen? Am I gonna get stabbed because I'm out with some other girl and she sees me, and maybe the other girl thought it was more serious than it really was?
Right. But women think that's true, and that's why people should talk about it. I've appreciated, the more I've dated, that people seem to be very straightforward, at least on the first or second date, about what they're looking for. Like, they say, I'm looking for a relationship, or I'm just looking for casual sex. And I think the more upfront you are about what your intentions are, and I don't think you should bring up marriage on the first date, like, I'm looking for a wife. But you could say, I'd like to date someone seriously. So I wouldn't talk about marriage on the first date ever. That's just one thing. Because that will scare anyone away, right? That scares me away.
Whoa,
marriage, whatever. I just met you. I don't even know your name. I've done that. I've gone on dates, and I have to check my email to see what his name was or my text because I forget.
Oh, my God.
So, okay, that's what we got time for today. I know, do you think, right? Has you, don't, well, you probably, you've had a girlfriend for a while.
No, you don't forget her name. I always know everyone's name.
But you know, I'm really bad with names. Huh? I've never called them the wrong name.
No.
And the last three guys I've dated have had the same name. I'm not going to say what the name is.
What?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Actually,
right.
Four guys in the last 2 years. Weird. Okay. So, everyone, that's all I'm going to say. Thank you. Well, I have a few more things to say.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to Sex with Emily. Check me out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Sex with Emily. Sign up for my newsletter, goddammit, on my website, because I send you really cool stuff, information, and interesting things about sex and relationships. And tell your friends about this podcast, too. If you are loving it, they're going to love it, too. And thank you, Menace, for being here. We can find Menace on Instagram and Twitter. He's just Menace, M-E-N-A-C-E.
Download the Stitcher app.
Stitcher is an amazing – everyone's like, how do I listen to your show easily? Download this app for free, STITCHER. You can listen to any podcast you want. Just put in sex. Mine pops up first, I think.
Yes.
And it's easy. And on the go, you can listen to it. Again, on Facebook, Twitter, did I say this already? Instagram, Sex with Emily. I love you all. Go to emilyandtony.com. Use my products. Oh, one more thing. I was talking about vibrators earlier. I don't remember if I said this. If you go to goodvibes.com, use coupon code Emily, and you get 15% off anything. So go buy yourself something that will make you go buzz and happy. So anyway, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Hi, I'm Emily from sexwithemily.com. What if giving oral sex tasted like strawberries or chocolate? Mask makes these delicious strips like a breath strip, only better. They make oral sex taste like chocolate, strawberry, watermelon, or mango. Make sex more pleasurable for you and your partner by going to sexualflavors.com.